الحمد لله، الحمد لله، نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له، ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، ونشهد أن سيدنا ونبينا وشفيعنا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله. أما بعد، أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. قد أفلح المؤمنون، صدق الله العظيم وصدق رسوله النبي الكريم، ونحن على ذلك لمن الشاهدين والشاكرين، والحمد لله رب العالمين. مولاي صل وسلم دائما أبدا على حبيبك خير الخلق كلهم، جزى الله عنا محمدا صلى الله عليه وسلم ما هو أهله. اللهم إنا نسألك علما نافعا ورزقا واسعا وعملا متقبلا وشفاء من كل داء. اللهم إني أعوذ بك من شر نفسي. As the Muslim Ummah, we are all in a little bit of a state of happiness at the reopening of Masjid al-Aqsa, although it is something which is a fallacy that we are in control over this Masjid al-Aqsa, which we had lost in the 1960s. That is when we had lost Masjid al-Aqsa as the Muslim Ummah. The world has made us believe that we have some control over Masjid al-Aqsa and its way forward. And just one hadith to quote for us to understand. Inshallah, we will try and link up the topic to Masjid al-Aqsa as we are going along. Is that Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has said that, do not make a journey except to three places. One of the three is Masjid al-Aqsa. If someone tells you, do not do something except these three things in order to attain salvation, then we know the importance of that three or those three things. In the same way, the importance of Masjid al-Aqsa, and there are many other ahadith, the safety of the ummah will be in those lands of Masjid al-Aqsa during the times of tribulation, the times of difficulty. But at the same time, we have to come to the realization that we are an ummah that is steeped in laziness. We are an ummah that is steeped in neglect. We are an ummah that has now become devoid of qualities which call or which will result in our success. And mere slogans and mere protests, which in its place is of benefit to us and has great effect on governments of the time, etc., is not enough. It is definitely not enough for us to attain or to regain Masjid al-Aqsa to some degree, or to even gain a small victory against the disbelievers. Rather, we are an ummah that requires qualities that would result in us attaining strength, discipline, will result in us mobilizing, will give us some sort of wakefulness in whatever state we are in. And the solution to finding these qualities is in the Quran Majeed. Maybe those that don't know me, it might be a bit new that I am with the Quran and Majid in front and recite from there. Those that you know, inshallah, we normally try and take directly from the Quran, where Allah Ta'ala addresses us as believers with regards to different qualities, different things that we need to bring into our lives. So, inshallah, let us pay attention with regards to what is going to be mentioned, and let us imbibe within us these qualities that will, inshallah, maybe not our generation, but at least the next generation will have some sort of wakefulness, some less laziness in them. They are able to mobilize and they are able to bring forth some victory for this ummah. When Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam came on one occasion and met Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam and said, "Oh Nabi of Allah, there will be fitna upon fitna that will come to this ummah. Difficulty upon difficulty, trial upon trial." And he was asked, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asked him, "Oh Jibreel, what will be the solution? What should my ummah hold on to at this time?" The answer that was given was, hold on to the Quran. Quran means people of Quran, recitation of Quran, listening to lectures of Quran. But one thing that we need to really bring alive in our lives is for us to delve into the meanings of Quran. What Quran is telling us and the message of Quran in Majid. And this obviously requires attachment to scholars. And it is not that scholars are not doing this. It is not coming from our side. There is no enthusiasm. We have a great amount of enthusiasm for many other programs. But when someone tells you they're having tafsir of Quran, 2% of the masjid, 1% of the masjid, 3% of the masjid will sit. It's something for us to ponder upon. That Quran is our constitution and our guide. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala brings a surah called Suratul Mu'minun. In the 18th juz of the Quran Majid. The first 11 verses of this surah mention some salient qualities of a successful believer. A believer whose success, remember success is not only the success of the hereafter. Success in this world is also a great thing for a believer. Conquest and attainment of economic, what we would call financial stability in the Muslim Ummah, the giving of charity, sadaqah, mobilizing, this is also a success. We might only hear from the Ummah that your success is only in the hereafter. But success for this Ummah, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam stressed on excellence and success in every aspect of our life. A believer must be successful in every facet. Whether he is an engineer, a doctor, a normal lay businessman, he needs to have success in everything. That is why a person who is successful, he is more attractful to people than someone who is unsuccessful in this world. But imagine if you have a believer whose iman is strong. He has concentrated on success in the hereafter, but he is also successful in this world. That is what we call nurun ala nur, which comes in the next surah. Light upon light, the success of a believer. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala opens up this passage in the surah. And Allah ta'ala says, قَدْ أَفْلَحَ الْمُؤْمِنُونَ Allah ta'ala says that the believers are truly successful. Believers are the ones who have true success. Meaning success is not only in what we call the material things of this world. Rather, success is on certain qualities. And this is the system of Allah Ta'ala. And when Allah Ta'ala wants victory, Allah Ta'ala chooses people who has qualities, who have qualities in their life. They might also have the brains. And as they say in English, they'll have the brawn as well. They are well. فَسَلَ طَالُوتُ The story of Talut and Jalut. They are very strong physically, very strong mentally. But they have certain qualities, and this is a system of Allah Ta'ala from the time of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Right till now, you will see those that have attained any victory for the Ummah, they had salient qualities. Qualities that Allah Ta'ala is ash-shakur and appreciated. And these qualities resulted in victory in this world, success in this world for the Muslim Ummah, and success in the hereafter. You take Salahuddin Ayyubi, you take Muhammad al-Qasim, you take Tariq bin Ziyad, you take Harun al-Rashid, you take anyone. They had certain qualities which resulted in a wonderful functioning Muslim community, society, and khilafat. And these qualities they all possessed. Allah Ta'ala is going to mention 7 or 8 qualities that we need to bring within our lives. The first quality Allah Ta'ala talks about. Not wealth, not fame, not political power, not military genius. Allah Ta'ala talks about الَّذِينَ هُمْ فِي صَلَاتِهِمْ خَاشِعُونَ Allah Ta'ala says that the believers who are truly successful are those who have been humble because of their devotion to salah. Notice the translation. I did not say those who have khushu in salah. Khushu is a word thrown around. People ask, what is khushu? I don't understand what is khushu. That they have been humble due to their devotion in salah. Now, a very important point. Allah Ta'ala said the believers are successful. Allah Ta'ala did not say those who perform salah. That gives us an indication that a believer already supposed to be performing salah. A believer already supposed to be reading his 5 times salah. On time, in the masjid.
Allah Ta'ala is talking about a quality in salah. Salah itself, performance of salah is not a quality. It is an obligatory duty on me and you. We have to do it. We have to fulfill it. No matter the time, place, condition, health, whatever it is, we have to fulfill salah. Allah Ta'ala did not say a successful believer is one who performs salah. No. A successful believer is one who performs salah with devotion and humbleness. And khushu, we will just concentrate on one point of khushu. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that we know the virtues of jama'ah 25, 27 times. But the ulama say a person cannot, it is not possible for a person to attain complete khushu in salah by reading salah on your own at home. Many of us are performing salah. But where? At home. Many of the ulama are performing salah, but where? At home. Make a census of the ulama. How many come to the masjid for Fajr salah? I tell the boys. I got a few students here, they know. Some might be unhappy about it even. Do a census, do a count. The scholars, where are they reading their salah? At home. The huffaz, where are they reading their salah? Fajr salah? At home. The masjid is empty. Many masajid are being built. Beautiful masajid. Millions are being spent. But the pillars of the masjid are those who perform salah in the masjid. And it is not possible to attain khushu unless you read your salah with jama'ah. It is not possible. Something we have to learn and put into our lives. When Allah Ta'ala talks about laziness, we are a lazy ummah. Allah Ta'ala talks about laziness. Allah Ta'ala uses the word kusala in the Quran and Majid. Both times the word kusala is linked directly to salah. Allah Ta'ala talks about the munafiqeen on the journey of Tabuk in the 10th juz. Allah Ta'ala talks about they are lazy to do the actions of salah. Allah Ta'ala talks about this word. It is directly linked to salah. You want to mobilize? You want to bring discipline? You want to take out laziness? You want to bring about the spirit of jihad? You want to take people out in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Bring them to the masjid for salah. Salah and doing ibadah together is an ummah. This brings about unity, strength, discipline. It takes away laziness from a person's life. He has to wake up in the early part of the morning. He has to be parked and be clean. He has to come to the masjid. The time of zuhar, midday, some masajid might not have an aircon. He has to come to the masjid and perform salah. Asr salah, closing the business. Client is just coming in. He has to come to the masjid. Maghrib salah, time for family, he has to come to the masjid. Isha salah, you just ate the supper, you are relaxing. You had a long day, stomach and belly is full. You want to recline on the chair, you have to come to the masjid for Isha salah. Salah takes out this laziness and neglect from our life. This is what is khushu. It humbles a person. It makes a person realize the importance that salah is not just an action, up, down, kiss the ground, back to town. Salah is an action that will result in the mobilizing of this ummah. Read the biographies of Salahuddin Ayyubi. Read the biographies of Nuruddin Zingi. Greats in Islam. Greats. What was their attachment to the masjid? What was their attachment to salah? How they attached themselves to salah? The army of Salahuddin Ayyubi. They were known to perform salah while the battle was going on. Portion of the army was known to be involved in salah. When the conquest of Istanbul had taken place, you might have heard the story, and you might have read about it, that one of the ulama, one of the teachers of Muhammad al-Fatih, when he was wondering, when are we going to conquer it? When he went to his tent, which condition was he in? He was in salah. He was making dua in sajda. So this condition of salah is very important. Let us not take it lightly. Let us be firm with our families. Be firm with the youth at home. Bring them to the masjid. Insist on coming to the masjid. Don't come and read an early fajr because it suits you. Rather read a late fajr because it suits your children. Don't read a late isha because it suits you. Rather read an early isha because it suits your children at home. Don't worry what suits you. You are performing a salah. Me and you, all of us in this first surf, we are coming to the masjid. We have children at home, youth at home. Find that which appeals to them. There are many masajid. It might cost you a few more pennies to go to a masjid which suits your son.
a masjid which suits your children,
take them. Rather spend some extra money and take the car and drive there.
But bring the salah, the khushu, this congregation alive. Thereafter Allah Ta'ala says, وَالَّذِينَ هُمْ عَنِ اللَّغْوِ مُعْرِضُونَ. The next quality. You might think Allah Ta'ala will talk about Hajj or fasting, or Allah Ta'ala will talk about some other goodness to parents. Allah Ta'ala says the next quality of the truly successful believers is that they completely turn away from anything which is lagh. Lagh, some ulama say, refers to all sin. Some ulama say it refers to those things which have no benefit. As they say, while Gaza is burning, at this time while Lebanon is burning, the ummah is scrolling. The ummah is scrolling while the ummah around the world is going through such severe times and difficulties. Why we have involved in ourselves completely in lagh. While in the masjid, we are in lagh. While we are outside the masjid, we are in lagh and wasting of time. Narration of Abu Dawood, which the ulama say is a quarter of our deen. Min husni islamil mar'i tarkuhu ma la ya'ni. The person from the perfection of your deen is that you leave anything which does not concern you. Anything which does not concern you, you leave it out. That which concerns you, that is something which you bring into your life. So, وَالَّذِينَ هُمْ عَنِ اللَّغْوِ مُعْرِضُونَ. Let us make a concerted effort that whatever is useless in our lives, we will ensure that this useless thing, we are getting rid of it. Doesn't happen overnight. It takes a lot of effort, a lot of time. It even takes sometimes shouting from the wife, shouting from your teacher, someone who gives you and puts you on a straight path. And this person will tell you, what you are wasting your time on the internet for? What you are wasting your time on the reels of YouTube for? What you are wasting your time looking at TikTok for? What you are wasting your time talking and making gossip outside the masjid? Rather involve yourself in something which is of benefit. Involve yourself in something which has some sort of importance in the life of a Muslim. This word mu'ridun, in Arabic you get different words which means to turn away. Allah Ta'ala uses this word in the Quran Majid as well. وَمَنْ أَعْرَضَ عَنْ ذِكْرِي فَإِنَّ لَهُ مَعِيشَةً ضَنْكًا وَنَحْشُرُهُ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ أَعْمَى. That person who turns away from the dhikr of Allah Ta'ala. Normally this verse is used for a person, if the person doesn't come and sit in the dhikr program. So someone will say as an advice to try and bring him, that the person who turns away from the dhikr of Allah Ta'ala. This word أَعْرَضَ is a very serious word. It refers to a person who has no inclination towards doing good actions. His nafs has reached such a level that his inclination towards good is gone. And this is one of the harms, the biggest harms of social media. Social media takes away from many people the inclination to do good. Not doing good, just the inclination. And a person needs to rebuild the inclination. And social media has mostly useless things. There is good on it, there is good in technology, but mostly useless. A person who turns away controls his usage, understands what is right and wrong, a person immediately, most of the useless things in his life is taken away. This is the second quality. In order to mobilize, to bring about a successful believer, salah in jama'ah, which will result in khushu, number two, staying away from all lazy things. وَالَّذِينَ هُمْ لِلزَّكَاةِ فَاعِلُونَ. The third, Allah Ta'ala says, a quality of a true believer is that in those who give their zakah, dutifully give their zakah. Zakah does not necessarily mean the obligatory zakah. Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has mentioned in a hadith, from the signs of Qiyamah is that zakah will be regarded as a fine upon people, not as a duty. We seen it this year. You know, the price of gold was through the roof. The price of silver was so high. And people had to pay huge amounts of zakah. The nisab was so high, people had to pay huge amounts of zakah. And people regarded it now as a fine. Regarded it as a difficulty. But this verse, how do we link it to Masjid al-Aqsa? If we ensure that we give zakah correctly, the ulama, the ummah, the community will become financially stable. We need to understand that the ummah is not going to attain victory by just performing salah. By just staying away from useless things. By just reciting Quran, yes, you will attain a great amount of spiritual strength. But the ummah also requires economic and financial stability. This is a need.
When Salahuddin Ayyubi conquered Masjid al-Aqsa, did he just go and start conquering? He started small. He ensured Egypt, he was made the wazir, was made into a hub of activity. It became so vibrant and so perfect, it started making so much of profit for the Muslim Khilafah, then only did he begin his conquest of Al-Aqsa. The Ummah needs to become financially stable, economically stable. Let us ensure we are giving our zakah in the correct places. Don't just give zakah. There's a famous incident of Ma'inus Patel, rahmatullah alayhi, when he was in the office in the Jamiat. A person came with all, he had a shock. You might have heard this incident. He came with all one shoe, one right shoe, or this the left shoe. He said, this is my zakah. You need to give zakah from your stock. You give zakah from your stock. So he gave his zakah. The value of the shoes came to the zakah amount. Zakah was ada, it took place. But did the zakah benefit anyone? Who's going to wear one shoe? Did the zakah benefit anyone? No. So when you give zakah also, ensure you are giving zakah to the correct recipients. Ensure your zakah is being given, taking people out of the cycle of poverty, putting people into a better condition. This is important. So this is the next quality mentioned. Thereafter, Allah Ta'ala talks about the quality, وَالَّذِينَ هُمْ لِفُرُوجِهِمْ حَافِظُونَ. So we completed three qualities of a successful believer. Khushu in salah, meaning with jama'ah, congregation. Number two, to stay away from all useless and vain things. Number three, to give zakah dutifully, properly. Number three, the next quality of a successful believer, وَالَّذِينَ هُمْ لِفُرُوجِهِمْ حَافِظُونَ. Those who protect their chastity, and their chastity. A person does not commit anything which is immodest. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, most of the previous umam were destroyed because of immodesty and what we call fahish came into them, major sins. And thus ummah will also experience severe trial, tribulation and affliction because of us forgetting this quality of modesty and haya. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, man adman li ma bayna lahyayi wa ma bayna rijlayi. The person who gives me a guarantee of that which is between his two tongues, two jaws, walladhina hum anil lagwi mu'ridun. And the person who gives a guarantee of that which is between his two thighs, adman lahu al jannah. I give him guarantee of jannah. If we want to take ourselves as an ummah out of the state of neglect, out of the state of laziness, out of the state of affliction and trial, we need to give up all forms of immodesty, all forms of zina, all forms of looking at the wrong, listening to the wrong, speaking the wrong, behaving in an immodest manner. This is the only or one of the only ways by which a person will attain a moral society, a society that is upright. In order for the ummah to be successful, we need an upright society. A society that can stand on its own two feet. Someone who makes a statement, no one must point a finger at him and say that you are immoral and you are making the statement. You are immodest and you are making the statement. You are committing zina and you are making the statement. So we need to keep this in mind. So four qualities have been mentioned. Thereafter Allah Ta'ala says, إِلَّا عَلَىٰ أَزْوَاجِهِمْ أَوْ مَا مَلَكَتْ أَيْمَانُهُمْ فَإِنَّهُمْ غَيْرُ مَلُومِينَ فَمَنِ ابْتَغَى وَرَاءَ ذَلِكَ فَأُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْعَادُونَ. From the seven qualities, the only quality Allah Ta'ala explained in detail is this quality of protection of your modesty and your private parts. Allah Ta'ala says that it is permissible for a person to fulfill his desire with his wives and that which his right hand possesses. If he goes over this, then he is a adun. He is a transgressor and aggressor. The last two qualities Allah Ta'ala mentions, بِأَمَانَاتِهِمْ وَعَهْدِهِمْ رَاعُونَ, to fulfill your trust and your covenants. Meaning, don't be a betrayer. The Ummah, many movements have started over the last 50 years to try and liberate Al-Aqsa. Why did these movements fall? Most of the time, none of the time because of the enemies of Islam. Because of betrayal from within their own ranks. Fulfill your covenants and trust. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, لا إيمان لمن لا أمانة له ولا دين لمن لا عهد له. There is no belief if you don't have trustworthiness. And no deen if you don't have a person who fulfills his promises. And the last one, Allah Ta'ala ends off with salah again.
وَالَّذِينَ هُمْ عَلَىٰ صَلَوَاتِهِمْ يُحَافِظُونَ.
That the quality of a true believer is he protects his five times salah. So the quality started off with salah, ended off with salah, attach yourself to the masjid, you attain the arsh of Allah Ta'ala, everything in between, the masjid needs to become a center of our community, not just a place to perform salah. And thereafter Allah Ta'ala talks about inheritance. أُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْوَارِثُونَ الَّذِينَ يَرِثُونَ الْفِرْدَوْسِ هُمْ فِيهَا خَالِدُونَ. Those who have these qualities of performance of salah, of ensuring that we give the correct, we stay away from low and useless talk, give zakah, protect your private parts, fulfill your amana and trust, and perform your salah dutifully, Allah Ta'ala says you will become an inheritor of Jannah. We are nahnu abna'ul akhirah. We leave behind things in this world for people to inherit. But we are going to inherit in the hereafter if we have these qualities. Allah Ta'ala bring us and give us these qualities. So not only can we attain Jannah and success in the hereafter, but we can attain success in this world. We can come out of our laziness, our neglect, so that we can have a society that can function as a Muslim society, stand up for that which is right, and mobilize towards the attainment of victory. Allah Ta'ala grant us tawfiq. Subhanallah wa bihamdihi.